You're listening to the Business Networking Show with Linda Cloak, John Turner and Jill Russell.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Business Network Show with my co-host Frank. Hello Frank.
Good morning. From QMT Commercial Insurance Brokers.
That's the one.
We are the ones.
And that song was actually for David, who's sitting on the sidelines waiting to come in and speak to us from Absolute Group. So we'll be able to speak to him later.
Patiently waiting,
yeah. And we've got Nigel Whittaker here, so good morning to you.
Good morning.
And welcome to the show.
Thank you. We're really
looking forward to finding out more about everything you're doing, because I've been looking at your LinkedIn and you're up to loads of stuff, aren't you?
Always.
And we've got the lovely Tim Dawson here as well.
Good morning, Linda.
So Tim is from Sue Design.
Yep.
And Tim, we're actually going to start with you. So tell us, how would you describe your business?
Yes, so Zoo Design is a sort of a digital marketing company. I started the company probably about 20 years ago. I had a real passion for sort of the digital side of things, like websites, but that's all morphed into sort of more marketing and digital marketing side. So that's what I tend to cover in that sort of area.
Yeah, because it's become so important now, hasn't it?
It has, and it's sort of changed over the last 10 years, which I can go through later on, but it's massively changed in what you've got to do and what people expect.
Well, as you know, I ran a social media business for 10 years and I was sort of thrown into it. And I remember panicking, you know, because I started it because I was helping somebody, typical Linda, really. and then she left and I was left with this business and I was like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, amount of evenings I've spent, which is just literally doing tutorials, finding out what's the latest things and all this sort of stuff, because if you don't, keep moving forward, it gets too late for doing anything. So the whole secret is just to get to understand what the new trends are, what's out there, what the best tools are, and just basically keep moving that way.
Well, I mean, I find the best way is to just get on there and do it.
Yeah, for sure.
My brand's
deep end.
On TikTok, so I'm on TikTok now. I haven't done a dance yet. Watch this face.
Yeah.
But,
that's a setup for in here, yeah. Guaranteed.
But you know, I do find that I'm feeling more confident as time goes on.
No, absolutely.
Do you remember? Last month I mentioned my sister-in-law's food blogging adventure. Now that she's doing it on TikTok, so her latest video has now surpassed like 200,000 views in 48 hours. Yeah, so. I remember saying to you that whatever that recipe is, she's got that recipe like nailed. And, you know, I think 6 or 7 videos later, she's already into, you know, hundreds of thousands of views.
That's mad. We're doing one for fun called Camp Stoke, Campsite Cooks.
Oh, right.
And that's mad to get that many.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's in the right topic, isn't it?
Yes.
It's in the right topic. So I think it's, you've got to find the right topic. And it must be quite exciting because
but I found one of the interesting things, if you go to a new client, it's understanding what the right channels are for that particular client.
Yeah.
Because we always say, and, you know, some clients more suited to Facebook, some more LinkedIn. So if you're more corporate, LinkedIn always does the job. But then within those worlds, there's a raft of stuff you've got to get your head around. I mean, LinkedIn in itself, you've got to approach everybody in exactly the right way. Don't just like somebody. You've got to put comments down. And there's just loads of subtleties. If you get them all right, it really makes a difference to your business. So...
which that's is worlds apart from Facebook, right? Which is, you know, you can just hit back with a message and you're good.
But it's always, you know, it's like Facebook, you can put ads down, you know, if it's the right market for you. TikTok is another one. You know, as you know, Instagram is one that I'm starting to use more because I'm quite visual. So I like to put stuff onto Instagram, sort of do stories. So it's just working out a lot of the times what the client wants to achieve, but also what media suits that client at the end of the day. So spend a lot of time going through research with clients right at the beginning to understand what they want to achieve and where they want to go. So.
And how do you find, I mean, obviously, you know, we run a networking group. How do you find that the networking groups you belong to, are they very supportive on social media or?
Yeah, I think at the moment, I think like a lot of things, I go on about a digital footprint, which is basically how many people you're touching. So touch points, you can call that as well. Social media helps you with touch points. If you go to networking groups and do hand, you know, talking to people, handshaking and all that sort of stuff, they're all part of your connections. And that's a, so networking is a physical connection you make. We're telling your story, what you're about. hopefully helping other people. But I do a lot more in sort of the digital footprint. So, you know, how does that company I'm working for deal with another client or a potential client and getting those connections working? But it's tone of voice. It's all those sort of things. So the same as, say, going to physical networking. You've got to put the right focus on what you're telling to people. What is your elevator pitch and all this sort of stuff? And you get all those sort of things right, it makes a big difference. But it, always look at it as what you can give as well. So it's about, you know, not just about receiving, what can I help you with? What advice maybe I can give you, and then just take it from there. Because I always find that is a more positive. If you want to help somebody, not even charge them, but you want to help somebody, you tend to get a lot back out of it at the end of the day.
Well, I know with Frank and I, when Frank first came to us, he couldn't believe how many comments I wrote on his
social media. I still can't.
But, you know, I've said to members, if you haven't got to write anything amazing, you know, I mean, on...
Just be active.
On TikTok and Instagram, I might just put a couple of flames or clappy hands. You know, the thing is, I'm generally the first and only comment.
Yeah.
But what that's doing is that's getting the Synergy brand right there in front of them. And everyone's thinking, oh, and then I, from some companies, I'm getting a thank you. You know, because I'm the only one going in there and doing anything.
Did I tell you about the We Love Ashford thing that I was doing?
Yeah.
So I was, anything that was to do with Ashford whatsoever, whether it was the council or a local initiative or events that were going on, I would post a simple message, "We heart Ashford," every single time. And that, excuse me, that not only got the post itself more traction, but it 100% it led to more traction or engagement for us as well on other things.
So I've done work with Bromley Buzz. I don't know whether that's one name you know, but it's a similar scenario. But they're basically trying to promote Bromley and then try and bring in potential new businesses into Bromley, but also promote the local, you know, theatre and what's happening, all that side of it. And it is, once you get traction for that sort of thing, it does make a difference.
It does, and it actually made a difference in person as well, because I was at the event. Remember where you had the really big networking bit?
Oh, yeah, the one in Maidstone.
That's it. And I think it was the borough council that were there, but it was the people that do the regeneration of Ashford Town Centre. And as I walked over, you see my badge, QMT commercial, and the guy literally went, "We love Ashford." So, you know, it clearly is catching on with people, and so it leads to a conversation in person as well. Do you know what I mean? So I like it. Yeah. I like all that
good
kind of stuff.
Specific, isn't it?
That's 100%, yeah. And also, I think, consistent.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, if I'd have just done that once or twice or here and there...
Absolutely, yeah.
...wouldn't have made any impact, would it?
It's like, that's the same as everything, social media.
Yeah. You know. Absolutely, yeah.
We had the same debate about news on websites that you probably hear every year. But it's like, if you're only going to be posting once every 3 months, don't bother. Just keep news off it and do it other ways. But if you do it on a regular basis, it's a really good medium to get your name out there and be seen in search engines and things like that.
Yeah, it works with the search engines as well, doesn't it?
But it's also, you've got to look at it. If you do your news item, where can I distribute that to in my channels? Can I put a part of that onto my Facebook? Can I do a link backs? Can I do, you know, wherever it is, you just try not to waste that effort you're putting in right on your news item. It might be smaller, a little bit, you know, just snappier to go into other media, but... It's really useful if you just think about where else can I place that news item.
Yeah, you should always be looking to kind of reuse your content anyway, right? You know, and
I don't know who has the time to actually sit there unless you employ someone to do social media or stuff like that. But it's very hard on your own to sort of keep that stuff feeding in all the time.
I'll try not to do that anymore. I was hashtagging Rochester, and I had Rochester City. Repeating everything I did, except it was Rochester City in New York. They've reposted
it. It's still engagement, though.
Really helpful.
Yeah, they're more up with the times of social media, probably, than Rochester.
Yeah.
I just want to ask you, Tim, about your company in a box, because I can see you've got three levels there. Are these aimed at different size businesses, like the bronze? Is that aimed at new businesses?
Yeah, so we do a mixture of work. So you obviously get clients that come to you as a new business, don't want to spend a lot of money, so we try to keep do you need a branding, and often we'll come in and look at maybe changing the company name if we think it's we have this thing about if you're called, I don't know who he's called this, but like if you've got three letters and then builder, it's like it doesn't have no personality, it's not catchy or anything. So what we try to do is look at right from day one, if you've got the time to do it, is your company name worth is memorable? Can we take that forward? Because if you don't get that groundwork sorted out properly, then everything you do after that is weak. Mm. So we try to come in and look at that to start with. We look at the personality of the person. How do we reflect that into the website? What tone of voice and all that sort of side of it. But so the brand in the box was an idea just to say, right, it doesn't have to be too scary to get you going in the right direction. But you get that startup business, then you get the middle business, which basically you've got a website that's not done brilliantly, so we'll come in and relook at it. That's sort of like your middle silver package. And then you get the bigger companies that just say, right, we're re-looking at our website totally. We've got some money to spend on it and just understand where they want to go as well. So the idea was just to give people a taster, but I think, as we all know, any project can vary from minimum to maximum, and it's somewhere in that. It's a spectrum. But if people just want to understand what they might have to spend, then that was a good idea just to get them started.
It's funny, actually, because when I had the dating agency, I had a website built by... it was a two-page website built by KM, actually. And it cost me £200. And I didn't really know what it was or, you know, anything. It was 2001. So
yeah.
That's why it was £200. It was not much to me back then. And then I had a website built by a young guy who was just starting out, so 21. And I didn't realise how great it was. I mean, it had a membership thing in the back. People could write messages to each other. They could book events. You know, it was
all really, amazing. Really intricate stuff, even today, stuff like that to build in.
But fortunately, there's all the business we're in, and there's always somebody who knows somebody who can do a website, and it's like, oh, my little cousin doing it, just come out of college, knows a bit about websites. He will do it for £100, say. But on average, you'll probably find that they can do your website, but they don't think about where they're going to take it, all the marketing directions and all this sort of stuff. But it's great if you're just a little cake maker or something. Nothing to do with cake makers, but it's like, get you going, absolutely fine.
Today you've got to think about your entire brand, haven't you, and your strategy.
All the people you're touching, who are you speaking to, and all that sort of side of it. And that's where, I say a professional, but I mean in the sense that people have had the experience and understand some of the subtleties about where you want to go and build it up right from day one. It really can make a difference again. So.
And I can see here you do e-commerce web design. What is the difference between an e-commerce and a website?
Yeah, so e-commerce tends to be a product-based website. So I've done one for a big company who had about 500 products to put online, but that particular company just wanted not take payments at the end of it, but send an invoice out or request a purchase order out to the client, and then they will fill it by phoning up. So what it means is that I'll generally have lots of products on there, descriptions. Sometimes it has a pricing to it. And then it takes you right through to a payment facility at the end of it, and either you can pay for it there and then via PayPal, whatever it is, or you do a purchase order type scenario where it just sends off an email with all the products you want to buy potentially, and then that comes back. So that would be an e-commerce. It's just basically selling products on a website at the end of the day.
And then you've got here that another string to the bow is marketing, and it's interesting that you put in here the very first process is to listen.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, we say that with our events, one of our selling points is that people actually listen, which is probably the same at your events.
Yes, indeed, yes.
People actually listen. I remember when you asked me to come up with a problem and I didn't really know what problem. I had so many. I didn't know which one to come up with. But everyone around the table was encouraging me and listening to what I was saying. Yeah,
absolutely.
And that's exactly what you're saying you do here.
Yeah, so what you do is say, first time you introduce to a client, it's just basically, hey, get to know me, I need to get to know you, what floats your boat, all that sort of side of it. It can be just general chit-chat about stuff. Then you've got to sort of try and get down under the hood a bit and just understand, right, okay, you've got this business, you're setting up. I'm quite passionate about, obviously, the work I do, so I try to put that into the conversation. But it's in a convincing way that I know... with experience, and then you've got to try and take that client with you on that journey. So so it's just really getting to know them, listening to what they want to achieve. As I said a few times, you get the scenario where they'll just give you like bullet points and they just say, I don't know what I'm going to do, I just know I need a website, here's some bullet points, what I think I need, And I basically got to turn that into this real world marketing tool for them, a website, and that would obviously lead on to other things. But one of the key things I think I mentioned quite a few times at the networking was that people often like talking about the business, but they don't really understand what people outside want to hear from that business. Yeah. So it's a bit of a sea change for a lot of clients, is really getting their head around the fact, you know, yes, you're X, you've done all this, running a great, successful company, if that person who wants to know is, I want to get my double glazing, it's going to cost me this, and can you deliver it in 24 hours? That's what that person wants to hear about. Yes, other stuff's important, but what is the first 3 seconds you've got to get that attention of a person coming to that website? So if you're selling a product, yeah, we all know, but it's like, I've got 3 to 5 seconds for you to try and capture enough, thought process with that potential client to get them hooked into that website and then read the further details of it. So it's a game you have to play, and we often call them things like landing pages, which are basically, you work out what your strategy is, your message, and then what is the call to action. And that's just your starting point. So, you know, what can you deliver? Why you're good enough to deliver that product, and then come and talk to us by this phone number or email and stuff like that. So you really got to work on those core things before you go into all the fluffy stuff about how good a company you are and all this side of it.
So the next thing is branding, and you've got branding and positioning on your website.
Yeah.
So I think branding is really important, and a very good friend of ours spoke about branding being about perspective. Yeah. Now, I first did the branding for Synergy. I don't know if any of you saw it. It was very dodgy. And then I got a professional to do it, and it's made a massive difference.
Absolutely.
Our car branded, our clothing is branded, everything is branded. So we're banging on it everywhere, really. So
you talk about Darren.
I am. Yeah.
Darren is one of the best branding expertise that I know in Kent, probably. And I work last 20 years with Darren, and to be honest, that relationship really helps me deliver what I'm doing as well. So what Darren, again, he's more likely to go in there and say, you've got a company name's wrong. Don't call yourself Limited at the end of your name. Get a proper telephone number, not a mobile number, and all this sort of stuff. But I come in with Darren often at the beginning of projects, and he will start that first conversation. And then I come in and say, right, on the website viewpoint and your digital marketing footprint, we need to look at these sort of things for you. And basically, as a tandem type scenario, it works really well, because I know I'm starting from a really strong position. I know they've got a good company name, good branding, all that side of it. And then I can come in and do what I need to do, and my skill set is design a website, and get all the marketing right for that. So it's a really good team to work with. So it's, you know, it's just enjoyable.
He's pretty amazing with what he's done for us. We're absolutely over the moon with it, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
So, okay. So the other thing about branding is making sure that you do get it out there and making sure it's trusted. Because if you go wrong with it, then.
So my Darren is someone I've worked with, and we always work together. My background's a degree designer, so I come from a design viewpoint. It gets, I say, frustrating, but I'm not IT. I know enough about computers a bit to do my job, but I'm not an IT expert. So my whole background is, how can I design you the most beautiful looking website? How can I get your messaging right on that website? And what tools you need to get the best out of the website and out there with your digital footprint?
That's where my skills are. Advertising as well. So
yeah, so if I tend to work with sort of a team of people around me that are experts in their particular fields. So if I know about social media, I can do the headers for the social media and this, that, and the other, but I don't do the day-to-day running of it. So I'll go to a friend of mine who does the social media side of it. If somebody wants to say Google AdWords and stuff like that, which is a little bit more hardcore, then I've got, again, another person I would use for that. So I try to be the umbrella for what they want to do and where they want to go with all the advice. But I like to use the experts in that field, because it is quite an art form. If you're doing ads on Google, or if you want to do Facebook ads, getting an ad on something, but how you track it, how do you get results from it, proves that that's the right market, or do we need to twist something, change it to another area? That's where you need someone really tuned into that sort of world.
Joe
of it.
Gregory is amazing. Have you spoken to Joe?
I have, yeah.
So Gregory Martin, I mean, she was in my BNI, and she really knows her stuff. I worked with a company that was spending £20,000 a month on, on Google AdWords. We were doing the socials. I mean, you know, the socials were £1,000 a month, nothing. But they were seeing a massive return on Google AdWords.
But that's the whole thing, is a return on investment. It go on with clients that if you spend £1,000 or £3,000 or whatever it is with me, I want to try and give you a path to actually make sure that return comes back to you. It says, if you're rubbish at running a business, I can do so much for you, but it's the end of the day, you might fail because you're not running the business in a proper way. But hopefully what I try to do is get somebody going forward with confidence, knowing that they've got everything, all the tools that they want, need. It looks great. People hopefully telling them, you've got a great looking website, seen you on social media and this, that and the other. And then if they're good at what they're doing, that will get me, you know, get them further forward. But it's about confidence.
The funny thing is, I think, and we saw it a lot with the social media business, when a company is struggling, so 2008, you know, they the first thing they cut down was marketing.
Yeah.
Which seems crazy.
Mad.
But that's what a lot of companies do. Is it smaller business mindset?
It depends if you see marketing as an investment or cost.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. That's exactly right. And it's such a it's a difficult one to make or view tangible results from, right? Because overall, you can probably see that the results are there because, you know, sales might go up from a particular campaign or whatever, but then you don't know that for sure because
all
people aren't telling.
Should be measurable. They say 50% of marketing works and 50% doesn't. The problem is they don't know which 50%. They should all be measurable if you're spending money on marketing.
I disagree to this extent in that I want brand awareness as well. So there's some things that I'd be willing to put budget into that isn't directly going to produce a lead, but I know it's going to get the message far and wide.
So I think if you know the psychographic profile of your client, exactly who's going to want to buy from you.
Nigel, go back. What's psychographic profile?
Well, a demographic profile is how old you are and where you live and what and how much money you earn. But a psychographic profile is understanding how your customer thinks and feels.
Okay.
So if you know that, if you're spending money on getting your broadcasting your marketing out there in the field to people who don't think and feel like that, it's wasted money. It should be going to those people who are actually likely to want your service.
Mm.
And then you can measure it.
One of the things you can do is you can do like a split email campaign, sort of like an A and B.
Yeah, A-B testing.
So, yeah, you send out two messages, and depending on the stats that are coming back, if one is like a lot more traction on it than the other, then what you do is take that one and send it to the people who got the one that's not working so well. So there are little techniques you can try and pick up. It's not, it's an art form. It's not guaranteed, but at least you try and use some science behind it to try and see what's happening.
We're advertising in several forms. So Carl Cowell is doing just starting now Facebook advertising for us. So really excited to see where that goes.
Mm.
Now, again, there you should be able to absolutely target
he'll measure it down to
which area it goes out to.
Oh, yeah, you can be laser really specific. Targeted. Yeah.
We're doing Ashford. So we're just paying for advertising for Ashford. We're not doing any other area. And we had AI working for us for Tunbridge Wells. And our Tunbridge Wells was our biggest one. And not only was it our biggest one last night, but also I've had a lot of people come back and say, I'm so sorry I can't make this month. You know, when's your next one? So it's definitely worked.
What were you doing with the AI?
Like pretending to be me.
Ah.
And sending people messages. Because it would take me all day to send out messages. I'd be sending out messages all day.
On what platform, though? Text
LinkedIn.
Or? LinkedIn, right, okay.
That is really what my job is, although obviously the other things are done in the evening, but it's about, you know, just inviting.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're running 7 events a month, how many events do you run a month?
9 at the moment.
Nine.
Yeah.
So how many people do you tend to have at each event?
Oh, so we're small events.
Right.
So my ideal number's 8.
Right, yeah. So we have 6 per table, but ideal number is 36.
Yeah.
So the most we've had at Ashford has been 24, but it's been going long enough now that I want the next one to be 36. because that's on the last Tuesday of every month. But it's making sure that we get that momentum and, you know, it carries on sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So,
that's a lot of people to fill up into.
In seven clubs. It is, we've got 133 members now.
Yeah.
So, and the members can, so like Dave, for example, he can come to Maidstone Ashford. You know, he's locked out of a couple, but, you know, the others he can come to. So it depends whether the members, well, he's got a young baby, so he's got good reason not to be there all the time, and a little one. So
he needs a break, and that's where he comes along.
I know. So I was just speaking about AI. So you've got a blog on your website talking about ChatGPT. How has that impacted on your business, or has it impacted?
I'd say yes. I think people are getting more aware of how much they can do themselves. Mm-hmm. Is one of the things. As we all know, ChatGPT gives you a lot of positives, but also you've got to watch out for some negatives. There's some rumours that if you take ChatGPT, the text from it, and purely put that into your website, Google are getting quite clever at working that out and start hitting you a bit. But then some people are saying, well, as it gets cleverer, they're finding it harder to track ChatGPT text. I'm finding more often is what you do is you get a website and a client hasn't got the time to supply you the text, and I just basically then nick a bit from ChatGPT and say, look, here's a rough draft, you've got to go in there now and tweak a few bits. For SEO reasons, I've got to look at it as well. But yeah, it's an amazing tool. Used correctly is great. And the bit I started to learn more about recently, the more you do questions and stuff, it picks up on your character.
Absolutely.
Once you start getting your head around that and asking the right questions in the right way, it's just amazing what you can get out of it. But
how's it affecting websites with how people search? Because I don't Google anything now. I ChatGPT it.
Yeah. It's a good question. I think we're all learning what the best way to coexist with it. So I can't give you a definitive answer, but I would say the positives are that it gives people access to good content. Just I would argue that you've got to try and make SEO reasons, got to change certain bits and pieces. But because if you ask the question in the right way, it's amazing what will come back to you. But regarding search, I don't know exactly what's the end result going to be. But it's quite scary as well, because I think we're just at the start of it. It will probably be in a few years' time, you hit a button and you end up with a website all written for you, found some AI imagery and it just put it together for you.
You can pretty much do that now.
Yeah.
I found one a couple of weeks ago that builds apps and website, essentially whatever you want. So long as you give it the right prompt, you come away with exactly what you asked for. It's mind-blowing, to be honest with you.
I've had to do a lot of proposal documents, and sometimes you just use ChatGPT to put sort of a company, what are the key messages for that company to promote, and you suddenly get a list of really good oral strap lines or something like that. You put a company like anything. I never thought of that, but it's still got to have the skill to pick what you think is the right strap line. You still, as I say, I would argue that you've got to look at the text and try and be maybe informal. But I know ChatGPT, you can tell it to be informal. And then those sort of things, and then control it and then put it out there. So, yes, it's very powerful, and I think it's going to advance. But where it's going to advance to, I'm not sure. And it does worry me a little bit in certain aspects. But I think as long as you're on the top of it, I always use the term like riding the wave, then you should be okay. But I think it's always a need for people with expertise, holding people's hands, taking them through it.
Of course, yeah.
You've got to just embrace it, haven't you, really?
You do. Yeah. You do. I do believe that there are too many people already, though, that have embraced it too much and are leaning on it in a very hard way.
Yeah. So the argument is if you go into a meeting, a physical meeting, say, and everybody in the room is saying exactly the same tone, exactly the same way. And
exactly, right.
But my job is now to make you stand out from that crowd, and how do I do that? And that's where I think ChatGPT, we're good at giving you maybe a standard response, but it's still about what is the bit that's going to get you to stand out in that crowd. Because if everybody's shouting, no one gets heard. So you've got to find what is the technique I'm going to do to get that company or that person be seen
the recipe.
And heard over everybody else.
It's
an art form, but it's a strategy behind it, but it's not easy.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much, Tim. So if somebody wants to get hold of you, how do they get hold of you? And
So the best thing probably is if you go to the website, which is zoodesign.co.uk, go to contact details there and all that sort of side of it, and keep an eye on there because I'm updating it all over the next few months. So hopefully the latest work and everything will be up there. But it's getting there. It's good.
And brilliant. What was it? What was the website address once again?
zoodesign.co.uk.
Lovely. Thank brilliant. You.
Okay. Well done, Tim. Thanks very much. I hope you stay pleasure. And listen. Yep. So I'm just going to go to a brief break now. And then what we do is we're going to speak to Nigel next. Really looking forward to finding out more about what he's been doing. So stay tuned, everyone. On.
It's red hot in here, isn't it? I'm not going to complain about the weather.
No, it is. Well, no, yeah, it's keep saying that.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. I don't know if that was an appropriate song or not. We Are Beautiful. She's talking about love affairs and everything. And I'm thinking that isn't what goes on in Nigel's events. So I'm going to start with Pure B2B because that's how I know you. And, you know, I came to one at Eastwell Manor. I really enjoyed it.
So 15 years ago?
Must be at least 15 years ago. Yes, yeah. And I remember coming along and thinking, oh, I wasn't sure about it, but I really, really enjoyed the experience, and I love the way that everyone shared. So presumably it must have been my first mastermind. Is that what you call them?
It is a mastermind, yes.
It is a mastermind. Okay, so explain what a mastermind is, please, to everyone, because not everyone would necessarily know what that is.
So it's a slightly different concept. Instead of giving 60 seconds pitch of what your business is and what you deliver to people, it's a chance to ask a question. So it could be you've got a challenge in your business and go, I would take clarification questions around the table so everyone understands the challenge. Most businesses face the similar challenges, and it's much less painful to learn from somebody else's mistakes than to make your own mistakes. And it just helps your business move on much faster. It could be an important decision you've got to make and you haven't got a board of directors. You can come to the mastermind board, get feedback from other business people around the table and help yourself make an informed decision as to what you're going to do. Or it could just be, and I've done this myself, stress testing an idea, get immediate feedback. And it saved me 6 months of trial and error to get something right, because people tell you instantly, just change it a little bit, Nigel, do it like this. And it's worked. So it's that. And it's also, on the other side, a great opportunity for business owners to demonstrate the knowledge. They're not just saying, I'm good at doing something. They're demonstrating around a table their knowledge and sharing their wisdom and building a deeper trust, particularly between higher value businesses.
So you're really helping the people that are there, aren't you, with just knowledge sharing,
really,
isn't
powerful,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a scary statistic, isn't it? 80% of businesses fail in the first 5 years. We've actually got a 95% success rate of business succeeding for 5 years. So hopefully you can learn from other people and learn from other people's mistakes and avoid making them yourself.
And how long do businesses generally stay with you? Do you find businesses just stay with you?
So we were talking about this the other day. I have members from 15 years ago who are still coming. I was speaking with Martin Kingman and we were working out Gary Richards. I've got a number of members have been there right from the very beginning.
Wow. Yeah, I know Gary as well. That's amazing, isn't it? So we were saying about all the different networking groups, and do you go to any others now, or is it just really your ones, because you've got a few things going on?
I do go to others. I found it a real shame after lockdown that some disappeared.
Mm.
Things like Muesli Mafia I used to enjoy going along to. It's just disappeared. Sevenoaks Chamber, I love. Go there regularly. I was there last week. Rochester Cathedral Business Guild is another one I go to regularly.
Oh, okay. I've not heard of that one.
But always looking for good events to attend.
Who's the Rochester? I've not heard of that. Who's that run by?
It's actually held in the cathedral. It's run by the cathedral.
Oh, it's run by the cathedral. Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. The church is getting on board with networking. Wow.
So, yeah, go along to that one. That's good. Medway Champions is another one. But, yes, it's great to go out and meet people.
I have seen the ones in the cathedral, and I've thought, wow, what a fantastic venue. But I always thought it was somebody else running it. Because they're quite busy, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yes. I don't know what connection it is with the cathedral, but it is something to do with the cathedral running it.
Fantastic. Yes. Mm. Okay, and then we were talking earlier about Go-To Brand Business Academy.
The Go-To Brand Business
Academy. So this was all brought about because of a book, wasn't it?
So it was one of my members. I think the one thing with Pew is it pops up some great opportunities. And Barnaby Winter, who's very well known in branding, he brought to market such things as, well, Saab was the first one using the process, the brand bucket. So you had the aeroplane come down next to the car.
Brilliant.
That
was
the very first one that used the process. But Argos, FedEx, if you've ever seen the arrow from the E into the X, you can't unsee it again once you've seen it.
Yeah.
An interesting one was Marie Curie. They were talking to the people there and talking to the different nurses. One nurse, and they were trying to work out what the values proposition was for Marie Curie. And one nurse said, biscuits. And Barnaby said, what do you mean, biscuits? And she said, we have a chef in one of our, what do you call them?
Hospices.
Hospices, thank you. And he asks everybody who comes in what their favourite biscuit is. And he has a hobby of making biscuits. So he will go and find the recipe for whatever their favourite biscuit was and make them those biscuits. So they've got them in the hospice.
That's brilliant.
Nice touch.
And that was really showing how much they wanted to brighten up people's people's lives. Which is where the daffodil came from, because it's something that brightens up people's lives.
Yes.
Because at the Go-To Brand, we believe it's every interaction that a paying consumer has with the service or the product that is the brand. So it's how people answer the phone. It's how they deal with delivery and problems. It's absolutely everything. And that builds up a values proposition that you can then start to share with people.
Mm. So this is this as well as pure B2B. It's a different setup because it's like a business academy, isn't it?
It is. So I'm co-founder of the Go-To Go-To Brand Business Academy, which uses the brand bucket theory, and founder of Pure B2B.
Right, okay. So how much time would you say you spend on each one?
Oh, that's interesting. At the moment, and it's probably about 50-50.
And do you enjoy one more than the other?
No, I love both. I do pure B2B because I love it. That's why it's been going for the last 15 years. It's not been the biggest money spinner in my life, but I love doing it. I love seeing the results that come through it.
Mm.
And then working with Barnaby and learning so much is really fun now, and that's much more recent. But it's great because you feel like you're learning.
I should imagine his mind, you know, must come up with some amazing ideas. I mean, even the brand of Go-To Brand, it's brilliant, isn't it? I mean, he's used the yellow of the daffodils there. He's got the target in the O. You know, it's hitting the spot. That's what I get from that brand. You're going to hit the spot, which I absolutely love. And it's brand new, but what you're doing is you're doing the same as you do with Pure B2B, which is helping businesses with something that they all desperately need, you know. So many people need help with marketing and branding, which is why people like Tim are around as well.
And that's why it's so rewarding, isn't it, Tim? Yeah. When you do help people and you see them moving on and succeeding.
But a lot of times it's just giving confidence, I find. You power someone with confidence to go and take their business forward, which is, we're a small part of it, but it's really impactful.
That's what Synergy does, I think. I mean, we've seen some fantastic
people.
Absolutely,
people, yeah. Aren't we?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, you know,
a show like this, it's all.
Yeah, it does. You know, it gives people that exposure and visibility, doesn't it? Which is fantastic.
Yeah, for sure.
So, tell me where you want to take Pure B2B first. Are you going to carry on doing what you're doing? How many times do you meet?
So, each board meets once a month, and it's just that opportunity to take a little bit of time out of your business and work on your business.
Do you call them a board? That's a good one.
But it's a mastermind board. Yes.
A mastermind board, okay.
And there's nine of those.
Yeah, so they're across Kent up into southeast London, so Bromley, Chislehurst.
Okay. So tell me where you meet, because I know you said you've got one next Wednesday.
So next Wednesday's at the lovely, and you know this, Black Horse in Thurnham. We also meet at Stubbs in Ashford.
Okay.
Which is another nice restaurant.
I don't know that.
I've heard of it. I don't think I've been in there yet.
Behind the Collingbrook, if that means anything to
you.
I
do know the Collingbrook. Okay.
It was recently done up, I think, about 2 years ago. But that's a nice little restaurant.
So do you have a private room in there?
No. We were talking about this yesterday, funnily enough. It's becoming harder, I think, to find small private rooms that you can use in decent restaurants. So we tend to have a quiet corner most of the time now. Well, I used to look exclusively like Eastwell Manor for private rooms. The one we use there, they've now turned into the ladies' toilet. But it was taken over by Champneys. So we lost that one.
Good.
But I think it does seem to have become harder, and it was stopping us using some areas. So we've got Giggling Squid tonight, for instance, in Sevenoaks, but we have a quiet call.
It's amazing how many venues have got quiet corners, and they appreciate you going there on a monthly basis, don't they?
Yeah,
because, you know, when I think networking events go to a place, they bring so much to the venue. And, you know, they're bringing business people who might go there for their Christmas events or might take their family there. I remember when I was doing the Click events, I used to use the Holiday Inn in Rootham. And one year we all went there for Mother's Day, and it was all my family and all the children. I think we had a table for about 25. You know, so that, and that was just me.
But isn't it funny, Linda? Some venues really appreciate that and some don't get it at all.
Some don't get
it.
Yeah,
that's so true, isn't it?
Well, it depends, doesn't it, whether it's big corporates up there who don't think they need to support local community, you know, but that's what it's all about. I mean, our Ashford event is supporting a local community pub suggested by Frank. And the reason we – so if you ever want to go to Ashford, I mean, there's upstairs room. Perfect, isn't
please
it,
do,
Paul?
Yeah. Absolutely. So perfect. We have an actual floor there as well to ourselves upstairs, and it's spot on.
Yeah, amazing.
Exactly. Bigger numbers.
I know, it wouldn't, honestly.
You wouldn't.
He would appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's well worth a look. And it's well worth a visit anyway. The food there is fantastic. The staff there are brilliant. Ethan's been on with us, hasn't he?
Yeah, Ethan, the landlord, is 19. Really go for it guy. Sounds a bit like Barnaby. you know, I think he's going to go places, don't you?
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yes, yeah. So, you know, really open to
more local, the Black Horse, that's good as well.
Is that privately owned?
Yes. Yes, and they look after us well. We use the dog room upstairs, which is less full.
The dog room? I don't know if I've been in there.
Well, you can take pets somewhere.
You can take your pets and have lunch, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, right, okay. I'm not a dog person, actually, are you?
Yes, I've got a mixture between a dog de Bordeaux and a bulldog. It's a big cuddly thing.
Oh, I had three children. I always said that was enough work. So, tell me more about the Business Academy. What sort of things do you cover in the Go-To Brand Business Academy?
So there was a lot in Barnaby's book. It's a really good book because his one 10 years ago told you should be doing this, whereas one that's come out 2 years ago said, and this is how you do it. So it was much more useful. But there's still an awful lot to implement into your business. I think it'll take a lot of time for people to put that into their business. So what we're doing is running an academy over 3 months. You'll get together six times during that 3 months and have thinking and homework and bits to do in between. But at the end of it, well, you will get a clear values proposition. So not just a tagline, but a real, all the values of your business, including phrases you can use, words you can use. When you're briefing someone like Tim, you can give them a good brief.
Yeah.
Most people now are finding businesses they want to work with online. There's 30-odd thousand adverts you're going to see a day on the back of a truck or something, a shop you go past and hearing it on the radio. So actually, a lot of that just becomes noise and you don't hear it. So what I was saying to you earlier about, I think it should be measurable. So we're teaching people the psychographic profile of their clients, so how they're feeling, what they're thinking, when they come to see you. Because when they come to your website, and this is according to Harvard, 57% of the decision has already been made that they're going to buy from you. So you've just got to do the right things. You've got to help them like you. You've got to help them have a fax match that actually, yes, that is what we were looking for. And that should all lead people down to a test drive.
And is it the same for every type of business? I mean, like, we've got so many different businesses in here. I run networking. You've got an insurance broker in the room. You've got electrician security in the room. You've got web designer.
So I think so.
It's got to be the same thing, but a different recipe, right, for each?
Yes, because it's how you're different.
Yeah.
So it's how coming to you as a brokerage is going to be different to me picking up the phone and going around myself or going to another brokerage. Because they choose you over the next brokerage in town because they like working with you. And it's explaining that how. I think often people say no, like, trust. Actually, it's the other way around. They've got to like you before they're going to be bothered to get to know you. So if you can come across on your site and they go, actually, I like this person, let's take a little more time.
Yeah, that's
got to
be a big part of it for sure.
Yeah, like, no, trust.
Yeah, I think it's that way round.
Yeah.
So we're trying to help people get that right with the values proposition, with the psychographic profiling, so that they actually create a website that does that.
It's funny, actually, because when I first started Synergy, obviously I started with two absolutely lovely people, and, you know, lots of people said to me, well, the reason that people are coming to you, Lynn, is because they like you, Chris and Laura. And I was, oh, okay, that's nice.
It's true.
It's a good point, though.
They're not going to like you. They're not going to come along and get to know you.
No, no, that's right. And, you know, I mean, Laura is just so lovely. We went to a Women in Business event the other week, and they were saying about one lady who always puts the chairs away, and it came to the end, and Chris went and got the car, and Laura's going around putting chairs away. I'm like, what are you doing? She was putting, I was eating cake. She was putting chairs away.
They are lovely, them too.
Yeah, they are absolutely amazing.
And then we'll carry on, and we'd work with people to build a one-page business map.
Oh, okay.
So that they actually are going to get the returns over, say, a five-year period that they're looking to get over a five-year period. So if they have an amount of money that they'd like to make, whether it's from the sale of the company or they need to make before they retire, that should drive every decision that they take between now and then. That's going to decide whether they need more staff or a bigger office or how much they're going to scale. It's all driven eventually by what they want to make.
By that end goal.
Otherwise, businesses do go bust within 5 years.
Yeah.
Well, I do say that you need to be aiming for something to get anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, if you're just floundering along and you don't really know where you're going or what you want to achieve, you're never going to get there because you don't even know where you're going yourself, let alone anyone else. And I think that's one of the great things about Chris as a business partner. So I'm very much like, let's do this. And he's like, no, you know, and it sort of, you know, hold the reins. My daughter used to do that in the social media business. And what basically he's saying is, right, we've got six clubs and, you know, we're not going to do any more than that. I wouldn't open a seventh one. And then he said, what we do is we're then going to open six clubs in Southeast London and then we're going to do pilots and, you know, because the plan is to franchise going forward. So he's got
I'm a big advocate for that, though, in terms of don't start something, get it half right, and then try to replicate it everywhere. Start it, master it, then replicate it.
That's exactly what we're doing. Mm. Yeah, exactly
so
what we're doing.
We do. We have Bell's Accountants run our Bromley.
Oh, Joanne.
Yeah,
lovely.
Yes, they run our ones up there in Bromley and Chislehurst, which is wonderful working with other people, so I can't be doing them all.
And she was a young, amazing entrepreneur, wasn't she, Jo? I mean, didn't she do well, you know, from a, you know, quite a hard, tough background?
Another person who worked with Barnaby, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
She's amazing. She came down to my birthday party last year and bought me a rose, and I sent her a picture of it actually at my last birthday because it's done so well. I've put it in the garden. It's lovely. So
lovely. It's just, and she's both of them are lovely to work with as well.
I can imagine. And she's grown a phenomenal business, hasn't she?
Really has.
Yeah, so I'll have to get in touch with her actually when we launch Bromley because she'd be amazing to have in the club. She brings so much energy into a room. You know, she's one of those people that really does. Oh, wow. So who would you say is what types of business do you like to work with, or is there no type? What do you go out and find people, or do they find you? How do you...
So that's interesting. So again, I'm working more on a psychographic profile than a demographic one. So it is people want to be in a better place generally in the next 5 years. They want a better living for their family. They want to be able to make something of their business. So they're looking for the better ways to run their business, more efficient ways. It's people who are open to learning to do that. But most importantly, and it doesn't always happen, it's people who are open to sharing their own knowledge to help the other people in the room. So I do get one or two people I can think of who've come along who are probably at the end of their business, Brendan McGee's of the world, who they've really come along in a generous way to share their knowledge to help other people.
Wow, that's amazing.
They've already made their money and had their successful business, but they're there to help other people. And that's been a really lovely part of the mastermind, people who are just there to help.
So like mentors, that's really?
Good. Yes. Yeah, yes.
Exactly. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, that's really good. Mm. Okay, so we're going next Wednesday to the Black Horse to get some
food.
Nice
to welcome you.
Get get some food and see what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
So does Martin Kingman go to the one next week?
Funnily enough, he's away next week, but he's there in September, so he comes to whichever. But yes, he regularly comes there. Yeah, you know he lives around the corner then, don't you?
I didn't know where he lived. I know yeah, he goes to I don't know if he still goes to BNI, does he?
I've no idea.
No, I know. That's where I knew him, through BNI Gravesend.
That's another business taking off, doing very well.
With what, Martin's?
Martin's, yes.
Yeah, he's done amazing. Again, he's diversified quite a lot, hasn't he?
He has, yes.
Yes.
Dr. Ant's with him now, working on well-being for people.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't realise he'd gone in that direction.
As you say, he's spreading out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, our focus definitely with Synergy is just to do everything for businesses, giving them as much visibility as possible. So can you see your business academy, it's working on brand at the moment, can you see it possibly going into other areas? So the business academy that we're providing is really a way for our members to get more visibility. So, for example, the first one was Denise Holland. She was talking about mindset. Then we've got Carl Cow. He's talking about when to outsource. Then we've got a young guy called James Hawkins. He's talking about Instagram. So then we've got someone in talking about where to spend your time, how to save time. So there's different people going on. So we're training right across the board, whereas yours is mainly focused on branding.
Yes. Can you see it going on? All of those things would work very well afterwards. Once people have got that initial idea of what they're doing, a clear idea of what they're doing, that they can then go on to Instagram and things like that.
I like the idea of the one-page plan, don't you? I can't imagine I can do my plan on a page. Is it?
Everybody can. But if you have a deep plan, how often do you look at it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could probably do a flowchart. Headline, bullet-pointed kind of roadmap, couldn't you?
Yes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like of...
So it's like a dashboard.
Yeah.
Mm. That you could look at every day.
Yeah.
Because nobody looks at a 17-page business plan every day.
Treat it like a vision board.
No, that's right, yeah. So is everything working properly? Oh, good. Paul's just walked in the room and I've had a bit of a panic, a bit of a hot flush going on. That's brilliant. So how can people get hold of you? How can people get hold of you?
You know what? LinkedIn is probably as good a place as anywhere else. So it's Nigel Whittaker.
On LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. And perhaps if they'd like lots of short little videos and some go-to tips that will help grow their business, the go-to brand business academy, there's a page on there. If you follow that, there's videos being shared every week. That will help people with different areas of their business.
Okay, and is there, are they all, you've got hybrid on your LinkedIn page, so are there some online and some in person, and how often are the in-person ones for the go-to brand? You've got hybrid on here, become the go-to brand business academy, and then, so do you meet, you actually meet for training for that in person?
Yes, in person. Twice a month for 3 months would be each academy. What will happen afterwards, and we haven't got to this stage yet, there will be an online forum for people to be members of forever afterwards, so they can carry on getting tips and interact with us. There will also be a six-monthly get-together where we get some good speakers for a day and invite everybody who's been to the academy back to those six-monthly events.
That's a good idea.
Mm.
Have you got a venue for that?
No, not yet.
The Arena have been absolutely brilliant for me. Oh, in London, yeah.
They can email me at pureb2b, but please don't do it through the website because I've found I'm getting so many emails through the episode.
Yeah, but your email's on your LinkedIn page,
yes,
as well, isn't it?
Yes, so you can email me through there.
Yeah, all the contact information is on there. We've got your personal email, actually.
Yes, it has, yes.
So nigelwhittaker@mac.com.
That's fine.
Right, that's okay. Fine, that's fantastic. And we can go and look at your website as well, pureb2b. So what has been your proudest moment with Pure B2B?
Well, I don't know. That's an interesting question. Mm. Yes. I guess still going 15 years later, I would imagine. I think the truth is actually the people it attracted, that attracted so many business owners who were quite prominent around the county to come and share their knowledge, often to help some start-up businesses. But that it attracted those people and they came along regularly, week after week, and helped other business owners. I think that would be my proudest thing about Pure B2B.
Yeah, the people that you're attracting.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think it's good enough to come back to and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure just a one-off.
Similar with synergy as well. The people, your members are the...
Yeah, I love help. I mean, there's the new networking groups just start up, the Girls from Kent Connections. I mean, they have been so grateful, bless them, but I've really tried to be supportive of them and, you know, just shared all of my knowledge with them to try and help them, which direction to go and that. You know, I don't look at anyone really as competitors. It's more of, can they help my clients in any way?
It's your members that make a group, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, I just want them to be able to provide... You know, so if they can provide something that I can't provide to my members, and they're focused on family businesses.
Oh.
So do you remember Anita Brightley Hodges?
I don't recognise the name, but I'm terrible with names, but that is such an issue, isn't it? A family business, three generations down and how it's running. Yes.
Well, Chris is their business is in its 90th year, my business partners. Yeah. So it's four generations. So they're the fourth generation and their sons are just taking over now. Which is why they're moving and helping with Synergy. But it's funny because all my businesses, Chris has always said that he's been involved with them. He used to come and help me even with the dating. Him and Laura used to come to all the dating events as well. Yeah. He used to, you know, help me with all of that. So they've always helped, which is absolutely amazing.
You haven't
helped
the generations come down then.
No. Yeah. I mean, one of the things I've said about networking, which I love, because I did grieve losing Click, not losing it, but closing it. And I think... that with Click, I used to put couples together. So it was fantastic when you see a couple walking off hand in hand, you know, really satisfying. But, you know, I've given an opportunity to three people this week who are members with me for potentially a £20,000 contract. Mm. I mean, that's huge, isn't it?
It is. And it makes a difference to their lives.
Yeah, they've all got the opportunity. One of them is going to win it because they're only going for three quotes and I've given it to three of the people. So... you know, which is amazing.
Think about what that means. Extrapolate out from there, right, over 5 years.
Yeah.
When the member base is much bigger.
Yeah.
And all the, not just the ones that you have introduced in, you know, to another person within group, but just all the things that, all the deals that will get done that you don't know about because they haven't put it on the Net Hub or whatever it might be. Do you know what I mean?
Well, there's loads of those going on even now.
Of course. Course.
Yeah.
So,
someone's just put up their hand as being guilty.
So across a period of time, that's going to be exponentially higher.
Yes, yeah.
You know what I mean?
An interesting one with us is the number of members who've ended up running a business together. So recently, Dan Corp and Anwin.
That's cool.
They came together through that, and myself and Barnaby, but the number of people have actually ended up, Simon Kiteley and James Crawley, ended up in business together.
That's so cool.
Dan and Anwin are lovely. Do you know them?
No.
Yeah. They're really nice couple. So I'd like to ask you something else. What's the biggest challenge you think you've heard in the room, you know, that somebody's put to the room? When you heard the challenge that you thought, whoa, have you had any like that or have you had loads like it?
I think once or twice over the years, you've had somebody who's got a family and kids and what they're putting out to the room doesn't add up. And that's sometimes a very difficult discussion when people are saying, I'm not sure you should be giving up your job to do this. Because you've got a mortgage and kids at home. And it just doesn't add up. Trying to do, the number of units you'd have to sell at the price you're looking at.
You just can't
possibly do it. You've either got to quadruple the price or...
sell a million units or whatever.
So sometimes that's been the most difficult moments. But if you're not honest, the thing doesn't work. So sometimes you've had to give some honest opinions that aren't nice opinions to give. But what's the worth of it if you don't do that?
That's equally as helpful, if you ask me, right? I think
not as pleasant, but
no, definitely not as pleasant. No, but it'd be sacrilege to not say, wouldn't it?
It would just be
Yeah. I'd feel awful for not saying it if I knew that.
And then know that they go bankrupt and lose their home a year later. So sometimes that's been the hardest thing.
Mm. Yeah.
We've seen some great successes. Young people have gone on to do really well. Pip Lawrence is an example.
The very first.
Vanessa Chell is putting together her law firm.
Coming along
to Mastermind like this. She just soaked up all the ideas and thoughts and then put it into Tiger Law.
So Vanessa comes to Ashford.
Oh, right.
Now, yes, yeah.
Mm. Oh, she's lovely.
She's absolutely lovely. I mean, a delight, to be honest. I didn't know that. And Pip, I mean, I haven't seen her for years and years.
Very active on LinkedIn again, I've noticed recently.
Is she? Mm. Yeah. That was, met her at BNI Invicta, funnily enough. Yeah. Mm. So she was a member there for a while. And very successful.
Sponsoring a position for a young entrepreneur, and I believe I'm right in saying it was years ago now that Pip was one of the young entrepreneurs we sponsored a year's membership for to try and get them up and going and running successfully.
Oh, I see. That's fantastic.
Mm.
So do you do any initiatives for youngsters?
Yes, we try and sponsor a young entrepreneur in each group and give them 6 months or a year to get their business going before we move them on and bring another one. Hopefully they'll stay as a member, but...
Like an academy type of thing?
Yes, I guess so. It's just a chance for them to mix with business owners and learn from other business owners.
Well, I think, I mean, with... So I've got three children and the two eldest I used to drag along to the events, bless them. I mean, because, you know, all the single people were in their 40s and it was probably a bit intimidating for them. But with Elle, because I was doing We Do Social Media, I took her to BNI. So she was 17. And now I would say all of her friends are business people. Mm. And she's completely different from the other two. And I think that's because the people she mixed with, the people that my eldest two were mixing with were people who'd maybe lost their confidence, had a massive hit in life, were trying to renew their life, you know, from some direction or another, whereas Elle was speaking to business people who were going for it, who were go-getters, who knew where they wanted to go, had direction in life. Whereas I think the eldest two were meeting people who were maybe a little bit lost for a moment. Do you know what I mean? And it's strange how it's impacted on their life.
Influenced by the people around you, absolutely.
Massively. And I think that's why what you're doing is so important.
Thank you.
Definitely. It's really important. Yeah.
I agree.
I was lucky enough to meet Ivan Meisner and had a dinner with him when I was first starting this up. And he was really helpful, actually. Really nice.
And that's the great thing, I think, about great people, no matter what business they're in, when they are willing to be helpful and share ideas, that's really what makes them who they are, isn't it? I think that's amazing.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay. Have you got any questions you'd like to ask Nigel, Tim?
I'd say there's some synergy between how you approach a person. Or I love the idea of having a business academy. And to be honest, I'm not, other than just Rufus and their similar business areas, we just explain and talk to people about, you know, what we want to achieve, and then you get some feedback saying, so that sort of stuff is absolutely amazing. I'd love to go to the next one, Thurnham. It'd be absolutely amazing.
So that's the pure B2B, the Business Academy. We're launching the first cohort. There'll be 7 businesses in September.
Yeah.
So if anybody out there would like to be on the first cohort, please do email me at that address, nigelwhitaker@mac.com, and we'll be filling that cohort up. And as for pure B2B, yes, it's lovely to invite new people along all the time to come and...
You're absolutely right. That. I think I know Brenda McGee and I know Anita, and they're great for helping other people.
Yes.
And giving that advice. And when you get that, it just makes you feel... like positive, and gives you empowerment to go off and do your own thing as well.
I've just joined his fantasy football league again for this year.
Yeah, I did last year. I didn't even come last, so I've dipped out probably this year. But yeah, no, I think if you can help people, it helps you as well, because you sort of understand where you want to go. But by helping other people, it's just a great feeling at the end of the day, especially if they become a success.
Yeah, thank you.
Frank loves a bit of football, don't you, Frank?
Pass. I'm a rugby league fan.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to just play a couple of adverts now, and then we're going to be speaking to David McEwen, and looking forward to speaking to him. So, yes, yeah, stay tuned and we will be back soon.
Hello, Kent businesses. Tired of networking events that don't deliver? Synergy Networking Events has got you covered, whether you're a networking newbie or a seasoned pro. Our events make networking a breeze. Meet other businesses without the pressure. Enjoy pre-planned seating table moves and even a buffet. All for just £20 for non-members and £10 for members. Build relationships that last and get a result on your investment.
Hello? Can anybody hear me?
Advertising your business can sometimes feel like you're trapped down a well, waiting for someone to respond. Choosing to market your business with fuzzy logic, you won't just be heard, you'll be seen. We offer websites, social media and content creation packages that are fully bespoke to you and your business. And the best thing about it, we're affordable. So stop hiding and boost your digital presence using the power of fuzzy logic. Visit www.fuzzy.studio for more information.
Okay, so we're back now and we're going to introduce you to David. So, David, you're going to be talking a bit about, I think, renewable energy now, aren't you? So tell us a bit about your business. Start off with all of it, please.
Let's okay.
Go for it.
Well, I started Absolute Protection Group, 8 years ago. Wow, amazing. I always had a dream that we would add more to it. Subsequently, I have ventured into the world of solar. I've been sort of teetering on it for years. We've started a new subsection company called Absolute Renewables. It's very similar in effect of brand. And the whole premise behind Absolute Protection Group was to serve the local community, give good advice, solid advice, and we're going to carry that same moral compass, if you like, into the renewable side as well.
So I had a meeting yesterday with a guy who, and this guy does, so it's all basically about sustainability, and he is making socks and sheets and towels out of bamboo.
Oh, okay. I've heard a lot of things about bamboo in respect of what you can do with it. I've never heard socks out of it, though.
No, bizarre, isn't it? So, yeah, it was quite a good meeting, actually. So is the reason you've gone into this, is it because for sustainability reasons?
There's two elements. One is sustainability. The second reason is there's a lot of poor advice going out there. And recently we came across a customer that was provided a battery system to sort of save them money in the long term. But the battery system that was provided wasn't what the customer really needed. It was too small for what they used. Their physical usage is huge. And the battery system that they've provided would never be able to cope with what the client's requirements are. And I think a lot of trades, especially in the solar world, it's driven by sales. And sales are great and salespeople are really required, but they don't have the technical background, say as someone like myself, who's a fully qualified electrician, to understand what the system is going to do and be capable of doing. And again, I think there's a lot of companies in Kent that they don't necessarily listen. So it's all, and again, it's sales driven. Basically, everyone needs to sell to keep the business sustainable, which is great. But if you sell the wrong item to the client, then you're giving yourself a bad name.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so Absolute Renewables is a bit of a rethink and a fresh start on that. So you get a qualified person. Now, I'm not a massive salesperson. I can sell to a degree, but fundamentally, I'm technical. That's who I am. So if you come to me and you say, I need X, I will look at X and make sure that X will function with what you need. So I'll look at a bigger picture. I'll ask, what's your plans for your home business for the next 5 years? Will that system, you know, supply X, will that
supply be suitable for you in 5 years' time? Because if it's not, it's a lot of money out, but not a lot of gain. And then you're going to be changing it. And the problem with changing stuff regularly is it's just cost. So you're not getting your sustainability and you're not getting your energy efficiency back quick enough. So for me, I think we just want to provide the right advice at the time. And hopefully by listening, we can do that.
That's brilliant. So what I'd like you to tell me now is how long have you been going and what made you start in this business?
In the renewable side, we've only really just started this year. We have done a project with 144 solar panels on a very large estate. We put them on his tennis court. His is a very complex site. He needed and wanted a lot. And so his has been designed to the nth degree, and he's got off-grid and on-grid, and there's a real complex nature, which is, I won't lie, something I absolutely love. However, you know, the general Joe public also require good, sound, solid advice, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the most complicated system in the world to give you what you need and want. And likewise, sometimes the simplest solutions are the best solutions. But it's just about thinking outside the box and looking further ahead.
And do you think renewables is going to be taking over from traditional methods of heating, cooling and all of those sorts of things?
The current trend is yes. In all honesty, gas boilers are going to be phased out. We're going to be pushed into heat pumps and other sources of heating. Solar is being pushed hard at the moment. Battery systems, not so much, but they really do work well with solar systems. So if you've got solar and you sort of toyed with having battery systems, the battery systems now are coming down in price. They offer a wider variety, and you get your solar. So at the moment, we're having a heat wave. So all of that sun that's being produced is, if you've got solar, will either be being used by you because you're using it, or it will be put to the grid and you'll get paid a pittance for what?
Now that's what I want to ask about. So I've got solar panels. So when I moved into my house, they already had solar panels on there.
Okay.
And I thought that I was using them. You know, they're in the house. Why wouldn't I be? And then my brother-in-law had solar panels fitted, and he said, my bill has gone down to zero. And I said, well, if your bill's zero, how is mine not zero? You've got two people in your house, and I've got one in mine. So why am I still paying for mine? And apparently you have
sign
to
sign up and all that, haven't you?
Yeah, you have to fill out some, and it's not easy, you know.
No, they I won't lie. They are trying to make the system a lot simpler. But the energy suppliers, you need to talk with them. They will have certain information that you need to provide. So if you sell your home, in theory, you should pass all of that information on to the new buyer. And again, I think the system's just a bit slow. So the solicitor, when you're buying your home, doesn't necessarily know all the information that they need.
But they didn't even tell me that I need to do that. I actually was told by my supplier. I've been in the house 10 years. I was told by my supplier probably 6 months ago. I've tried filling out the form 3 times. And in the end, I said to my brother-in-law, he's away this week, but I said to him, look, can you help me? Because it's not easy. I don't know what I'm not doing.
Who's supposed to know, right? The estate agent surely isn't supposed to know about it. Do you know what I mean? Like when it comes to the point of sale, as in telling you about what you need to do to get that hooked up or whatever. So I think it's probably
housing association should, because I'm part by part rent.
Ah, right.
So really, because I own a percentage of it, my housing association should really tell me, you know, how to.
The one there. concerned about is, are you connected to the grid, right? So have you got power coming?
I'm supplying electricity to the whole world at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, is that
actually a fact there, Dave? So long as the solar's there, will it just forever absorb energy and put power into the grid? Or do you have to physically flick a switch?
No, it automatically does it.
It automatically supplies energy to the grid unless you tell it that you're going to use it in your home. So that's so, what's wrong. That, so you would think it would be that it helps, it provides the energy for your home. And that's what I thought. I thought, oh, I've got solar panels. It's supplying energy for my home. But that's not the way around they do it. It supplies the grid first, and then you have to make it do it to you.
Kind of. So the inverter is pushing the energy to your fuse board all the time. And to a degree, you are using some in your home. But as you said, there's only one of you in your home, so you're not using a huge amount.
No.
Yeah.
The rest all goes to the grid. And it really does depend on, A, who set up the inverter originally, how they've set it up, because each customer, and this is where it's really important to understand, if you purchase a house with solar, your probable first steps is to either get the original installer back or have an installer come and have a look.
Mm.
The second step is obviously energy companies. So you need to notify whatever energy company you go to that you've got solar. They'll be looking for certain numbers. I think they're called MPAN numbers. Once they've got the MPAN number, they should be able to then set you up properly with them so you get the right rates, at which point you would then have an app on your phone because the installer's come in and he's put the app on your phone, and you can then see where that solar energy is going.
Yeah, but that's so. But I was in there from new. I've been with the same supplier from new. They never told me. The only reason I know is because my brother-in-law had them fitted on his house, and he's not paying anything for his electric.
Yeah.
So
I think it really comes down to having the right people in and understanding. So from now on, everyone on this radio station that's listening today will now know if you've purchased solar originally, so you've bought it,
mm-hmm.
then obviously it'll have all been set up for you. You'll then know to go to the energy supplier. I've now got solar because the installer will tell you.
Mm.
Subsequently, if you've purchased a house with solar, get someone in to ensure, A, it's decent, because there are a lot of issues that have had from old that we're that the industry as a whole is now adapting to and changing. But B, it makes sure that you're set up on an app. It makes sure you've got all the information so that when you go to the energy supplier and say, right, hang on, Mr. Energy Supplier, I have solar, here's all my details, they put you on the right tariffs.
And how do you get the details? Because I don't know what my details are. All I know is I've got two solar panels on my roof.
There should have been a pack that was provided to you as part of the point of sale.
That'll be the original owner, right? So if you're the new purchaser,
that's it.
You might not have that information.
But when you purchase a house...
I've had it from new.
Oh, okay.
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
So when you purchase a house, you get given usually a sales pack. As part of that sales pack, that you might have an electrical cert. If there was an electrical cert, you might have a gas cert.
Mm.
Now, another thing that we start needing is all of the information from the MCS, which is your solar certs. So you should have all of this stuff given to you. It's a bit like, you know, if you've had windows replaced in the last 10 years, you should get a Fenza cert? Then you get an NIC cert for the electrical, gas safe. So all of these certs are all really important. You should have that information. So
certificates, that means, by the way.
Sorry.
Is it worth doing these checks pre-purchase of a property as well, if it's got solar? Or because I'm assuming it's like anything else that someone might add to the house. It's not a change in the build or design, is it? So it's...
No, I mean, if it's a brand new build done by builders, which is what yours sounds like, Linda, then obviously you can question the builders and get that information. Subsequently, if it's, say, let's say I put solar on my house right now and then I sold my house next week, I will have that information. And it'd be really good for you to at least go through your solicitor and ask the questions of... Can you tell me what you're saving with your solar? You know, these are just important information. When was the solar fitted? Who fitted it? And they, as the end user giving it over to the solicitor, should have all that information. If they don't question it, because maybe it's not MCS registered, which means maybe you can't export to the grid. Do you see what I mean? So you can't get your fit tariff back. So it's worth getting as much information as possible, because technically... anyone can fit solar to their roof.
So I've got a three-bed end semi. How many? I've got two solar panels. If you were to go in and say, right, okay, I've said to you, I want solar panels. How many would you recommend that I have on that house? And should I have it on both sides of the roof?
Depends if it's so, south-facing and all that, doesn't it?
Yeah, so south-facing is always the ultimate, you know, you'll make most out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, panels have got clever. You can put them on other sides of the roof, but it might add extra cost because you might have extra inverters and bits and optimizers and all other bits that I won't bore you with. So you can put them in other places. It'll depend on really a survey. So, we do free surveys. So we'll come out, we'll measure your roof. We'll look at which way your house is facing, what the best roof is to put it on. If you've got dormers, where your chimneys are, because everything that is blocking it is either shading. So it might be pointless putting a panel behind a chimney because it may never get the sun.
Mm.
So why would you spend money putting a panel there if it's never going to really amount to giving you any energy? So you then design, and you should get a design pack with how many panels you're going to get. It should give you a guidance on what it's going to generate and how much money that might make on a given package. So if you've got, let's say you're with Octopus now as part of your current electricity, it will say, okay, well, you're paying 30p a kilowatt. We'll put you onto Octopus Flex, for example, which I think is 15p a kilowatt. I can't remember now. It changes so regularly.
Well,
so
you should be talking about UW, because obviously we have UW people in Synergy. So
apologies.
And Octopus don't support us at all. So UW supply.
Okay. So effectively, whatever tariff you're on, we can then determine what that tariff is going to look like after the solar.
Mm-hmm.
And then subsequently, we'll give you the pack. That gives you the information that you need to make that decision on whether A, solar is going to be beneficial to you, and B, whether it's something that you actually do want to push forward with. So
is solar the only renewables you do? Or
no, so you've got the battery systems, and basically what they do is they can be coupled with solar, or they can be completely independent. So if you don't have solar, you can't have solar, you can still have a battery system. And a way that the battery system works is it basically, you can set it up so that, say, at midnight, you can get the cheapest tariff, 4p per kilowatt.
Yeah.
And then between 12 and 4 at night, it's charging the batteries. Mm. Then throughout the day, it can expel those batteries into your home.
Mm.
Which, what that means is, let's say, let's say you're paying 30p a kilowatt during the day. You've got a series of batteries that can then pump into your house and reduce that cost. So you're now not using your grid. So for 4, 8, 10 hours a day, you might be using the batteries, and then it charges back up over the night.
Oh, wow. Okay. Did you have a question then, Frank?
Yes. Can you fit solar panels to flat roofing?
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah, actually, flat roofing's in some ways a lot easier. Mm. Depends on a variety of things. So, again, it always comes down to a survey.
All right. I was contacted a couple of years ago now by a firm who their hook was there's grants available for homeowners, or it might not have been a grant, but it was some kind of scheme, right, mm-hmm. to get more people fitting solar at home. Is there anything like that available?
As far as I know, at this moment in time, nothing for homeowners. There are some bits for businesses, but they come and go. So it's a case of keeping a track of it. Looking out, if you see that there is a grant available, so if it's government-backed grants, that's the sort of thing you want. Okay. There are companies out there that are trying to say that they're giving you a grant, and there's a collective, solar collective, where so many people go, right, I want solar fitted to my house, and then they get a big list of an area and then pump.
This sounds like it was...
Yeah, the problem is they use the cheapest, lowest quality products from what I've heard, and... They don't worry so much on whether you get the best out of it. So you might save yourself £1,000 in theory from, say, me to them, but you won't make...
Over time, it's not...
Yeah, so you do really need to do your research.
Mm.
And the panels are changing almost weekly. The quality, the ability of them is amazing now.
Yeah, Tesla are moving into solar. And I've seen something... I think this was last night, actually, on the news about a company that is putting solar panels in space.
Yep.
And then directing the energy through a laser, pointing it to a ground station, which is where it will funnel all of the solar energy into electricity.
Wow. At the moment, that's just theory.
Yeah.
They haven't actually made it work. It
sounded like it was maybe a handful of years off, though, which is not bad, really.
I'll tell you what, if it comes... If it does come about, it'll be mind-changing. It's amazing, yeah. The technology, because in space, solar is 100% of the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's free energy, it's 100% of the time.
Yeah.
How amazing would that be?
I'll tell you, the first thing came to my mind, and I don't know if I'm a weirdo, but is what if it goes off track and it points it and it's not at the power station? That'd be scary, wouldn't it?
I think
they'd have to
be
build in some fail-safes, wouldn't they?
They would have fail-safes, yeah.
You know, like your mag, you know, with iPhones and other smartphones these days, or my watch, for example, it magnetically holds to the charger.
Oh, right, okay.
But if I put my fingers in the way of that, it doesn't electrocute me. It's however it works, it only works when it's fully connected and the whole MagSafe thing is connected up.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Okay. So I guess it'd be something not like that.
It's more the way that I understood it, and I don't know a huge amount about this. Spaceship Enterprise. It's sine waves is what they're using. They're not, so it's not electricity. So if I suddenly flew in its path, I'm not going to suddenly get electrocuted.
Yeah, yeah.
It will generate that electricity in the pad that they're going to put in the sea, at which point then they can take that energy away. How right. about they do that and how they make that element safe, so where it's sitting in the sea, that would be the question. And whether there's any harmful effects to the environment, that'll be the real question that they will have to answer. But it sounds fantastic.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I can't wait for it.
Wow.
All of this stuff. Nikola Tesla, have you ever heard of Nikola Tesla?
I've read about that, yeah.
So he apparently got electricity to work remotely or wirelessly, basically. I'm not sure.
He was a fantastic guy, and he was having a fight with
Edison.
That's it.
And over the whole AC/DC thing.
That's it. Mm. Yeah. If we had more engineers like him now, how far advanced would we be?
Imagine.
Scary stuff. Honestly. So, how far do you want to take this? What's your plan? Have you got a one-page plan?
Well, to be fair, I haven't got a one-page plan, but I want to take this more into business. My whole background is more commercial. As much as I love doing domestic, commercial is where I sit best. And one of the things that commercial does is they use a lot of energy. And, you know, you've got all these large-scale warehouses all across Kent. And they've got huge roofs. And half of them, probably more than half of them, don't have any renewable energy at all.
And their bills must be huge.
Yeah. I mean, we work with a company down in Whitstable, and their bill per month is £1 million. But they're a manufacturing company. Now, they do have some solar, but it's not anywhere near the size of what they need. And it's been in a few years now. So it's also, it's just not as efficient.
I was going to say, so how, I mean, you know, we talk about social media moving on. How quickly is solar energy moving on? I mean, if they were to have, you know, I don't know, 20 panels installed today, how long will they be effective for?
Well, they'll last 25 years.
Oh, right, okay.
Generally.
Yeah.
Unless there's something that happens to them, but 25 years. But the thing is, if you look 10 years ago at what the technology was, we've doubled that technology in 10 years.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what's the rate of...
At least double in the last 10 years. Hmm. Probably more. So if you think, I think they were 220 watts roughly 10 years ago. Now we're at 480, and there are panels out there that will do more than that as well. If you sit down and you think, okay, so I'm now doubling my power out of the same panel, and they've also halved in price, it's a no-brainer, really.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say something completely random now because I'm a woman and I can. I was speaking to someone, so I had my Hoover service the other day, and did you know that my Hoover is a 1,200-watt Hoover, they can only be 800-watt now.
Okay, but the motors and everything's come on so much.
Yeah, the technology's much better, right?
Yeah, so they don't need big motors. It's like your TV of old. You had valve TVs originally. Now you have... TVs, and we still think, well, we need a 32 amp ring main in our house, and generally we barely use 10 amps half the time.
All right, okay. So that's so that, because I'm thinking that it's all changed, and I'm thinking the bigger the motor, obviously the more powerful it's going to be and the better it's going to be.
No, they've come on leaps and bounds. I mean, I'm not a massive Hooven nerd, so I have no idea, but I'm assuming that, you know, most motors now have come down. It is to curtail power. It's right. To be energy efficient, right? Okay. We should all do our little bit. So that goes from manufacturing your product. It should be as energy efficient as possible.
Yeah.
And likewise, you should be using your energy efficiency. And if we do it as a collective, then subsequently we're going to save the planet. If you just think of, I'm going to switch my light off and I'm the only one doing it, there's no collective.
It's a drop in the ocean.
Yeah. So if we all as a country, but also worldwide, start considering our usages and start turning things off, and we use sort of more efficient equipment, we will get that energy efficiency.
So, I mean, we're talking about that. When you go into a big business, do you look at everything in the business? You're not just looking at their solar. You're maybe looking at all the other things. Do you look at their security, their electrics, everything, or do they just call you in for one specific thing generally?
So, I mean, something that we're doing now, we're sort of heading up a project for pubs. These pubs are trying to be as energy efficient as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So they are having very special kit put in that will basically allow them to remotely monitor what their usage is, but also have time clocks all built into the system to turn stuff off.
Wow.
So, and that's all the national chains. So that's starting to start now, and they've got a prediction of 2 to 3 years to have it done. So if you think that even businesses are now looking at, okay, well, we're not just doing this, we're now doing all of this. So we're going to ensure that our extracts aren't working before 11 a.m. because our kitchen's not starting until 12. We're going to make sure that our beer fridges, if they're not needing to be on overnight, they're off. You know, all of that thing will come into it. And I think there'll be a big insurgence in not just solar and renewables, but also actually how can we be more efficient? Because it's not just about what the renewable side can provide to you. It's also how much are you taking and drawing? And I think there's two elements at play there, and they need to work harmoniously together. And then you'll see savings across the grid.
I think consumers are getting better at that kind of stuff as well. I know I have personally, you know, when energy bills started to go up exponentially, it was like, right, now we need to look at what we're actually doing here.
Well, that's what made me look at the solar bills. You know, I was like, and being on my own now, you know, I need to make sure that that I cut costs wherever I can. And that's definitely one of the things I need to. So I think I need to speak to Taylor Wimpey and also to maybe the Housing Association. I don't know, just find out who can help me.
So you still don't have it sorted with the...
No, I still haven't got it sorted, no. No, they kept that. You know, every time I went to fill in the form, it's like, you need this number and this number. And I'm thinking, what number? Where do I get that from? You know, it's just part so of confusing.
The
pen
number or
yeah, so most of that will be on the install certificates.
Okay.
So if you weren't provided the install certificates, you need to get them.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got a whole, like, folder full of stuff that I had when I first moved in that I've, you know, I haven't even thought to look through. So, yeah, it could be in
there.
Well,
I mean, it might be something that if you would like, maybe I'll come down and we can do it as a survey visit. We can have a look at what you've got. We can look through all your paperwork. We can help you try and fill out those forms with the information that you're required, and you can push it on and hopefully start enjoying your solar a bit more and seeing free bills, because that's what the ultimate goal is, isn't it?
Oh, that'd be good. All right. I'll give you a bit of coverage on my old socials for that time.
Then you've got first-hand experience of what that survey actually looks like as well.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Okay, so we've got to do some shout-outs, and we've got to tell people about events. I know Frank's doing. So how can people get hold of you, Dave?
Best way for the renewable side is... absoluterenewables.co.uk. But if you know me, you'll know that I'm on my phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on 07823 774 725 for any emergency call outs, electrical wise, fire wise, or security wise.
And when you're coming to networking events and that, how can people help you? What sort of clients, when you say you're looking for more business clients, what's, you know, if somebody, for example, I mean, I know someone now who's working for somebody who's got two warehouses, quite, you know, in Harwich actually, so quite handy. So, you know, it, when you know people like that, that'd be quite a good introduction for you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. And especially if they mention anything about, oh, the electricity bill's gone through the roof, or they're trying to look at their energy bills, or maybe changing provider, because that's the point where you come in and you go, okay, well, look, let's see what you're using, and then let's see what we can save you, and then look at how much it's going to cost to put the system in. And a lot of systems, if we know about it, you might be that, you know, we quoted a factory a little while ago that was 100 grand. That seems a really big amount. But what you can actually do is, if you set the system up, you could do it in stages. There's no reason to do it all in one hit. So if you say, oh, you know, I can only do a quarter of that, okay, well, let's do a quarter of the system. And then we can build it up in maybe 3 or 4 years' time. We can build it up and build it up and build it up until you're actually getting a massive system. But then the benefit to you is you're saving that money now. So that particular business that was looking at a £100,000 install, within 3 years, they would have paid that £100,000 back on their energy bills.
Wow.
And that's the thing that you need to understand is how quick is it going to pay back? For them, it was going to pay back immensely quick, probably the quickest I've ever seen. They didn't have 100,000. They didn't quite get the whole do a quarter of it now and, you know, and build up. And so they're still sitting paying extortionate bills for no apparent reason.
I suppose it's finding a way to get that across in a way that they understand the benefits, and then just go for it, because, you know, savings these days, when you do anything in life, you've got to look at the savings as much as, you know,
hugely important.
Saving on expenditure as much as saving money. Brilliant. Okay, well, listen out, any of our members, that's what Dave is looking for. So I've had Sue Lee ask for a shout out. So Sue Lee has actually hypnotized me and helped me. Have you ever been hypnotized?
No.
Okay, well, she really helped me, actually, and got me out of a right sticky situation. So I saw Sue last night. She's locked out the position in Tunbridge Wells, and she helps people with anxiety, and, you know, she can help with sleep issues. There's lots of things that she can help with. So thank you, Sue, for saying you'd like a shout-out. So that's Sue Lee Hypnotherapy. Claire Noyal, another hypnotherapist here. She's inspired to change in Maidstone. So she's helping you get better, cope better and be better and live in the life you love. So, you know, if you haven't tried hypnotherapy, it's definitely worth seeing one of these ladies, because it's amazing how they can change your lives. We've also asked Gavin Farrant for a shout out. Express Cleaning. I bumped into him yesterday. Did you see my post?
Yes.
So I took a picture of him in his van, literally around the corner from me, which I thought, is he coming to visit me? I haven't booked him in yet. And he was saying that he gets really, really busy in September and October. So what he can do is he can clean your oven, clean your carpets, and he can even clean your artificial lawn, which is amazing. John Cloak, my son, he's asked for a shout out. So if you need your drains cleared, he came around the other day. My drain was dripping. He actually got so much gunge out of it, I couldn't believe it. Did you know that it all comes down out of your gutter and it all collects where you've got your water butt, and then you end up with a great big dollop of dirt there. And if you don't get rid of it, your water butt doesn't get any water. So, you know, and then it just, it was gross, and bless him, he had to take his socks off before he emptied it.
Well done, John.
Matthew Dorrington of Tutor Works has said that, could I give him a shout out for his guaranteed search engine optimization services? So he is a new member. And I know that obviously we've got a few members that do that, because Tim offers that as well, which is amazing. So you've heard Tim talking about SEO. SEO is search engine optimization. The other thing we've got here is we've got Joe, lovely Joe Gregory, who I mentioned earlier in the show. She's saying, visit expertppc.co.uk for all your Google Ads needs. New accounts can currently receive £400 free ad credit, which is absolutely brilliant. Nick McGowan, another new member. Yes, please, shout out for What's On in Kent. And they still have availability for their networking event, their Networking with a Difference, which is at West Kent Shooting School. Any of you ever done shooting?
No.
Not clay pigeon shooting?
No, we did have a plan to do it for one of our Christmas parties, so it may be something we'd look at.
It is amazing. So Nick is doing it next Tuesday. I'm going. It's at West Kent Shooting School, which is in Tunbridge. Mm. Wear something good on your shoulder because it does kick back. And I hit one. I was well pleased with myself.
Nice.
Only one, but I got one, which I was well pleased. So anyway, you can find tickets for that on Eventbrite. And Nick is doing a special offer for Synergy members. It's just £15, which is absolutely an amazing deal.
Good, yeah.
So go for that. So what about the events we've got coming on? I know we've got the lovely Business Academy with Carl Cow.
Yes, that's 2 o'clock tomorrow, correct?
Yep, that's right. So he's going to be talking about why you should outsource. Do you outsource?
I outsource various things, but not so much on the technical or the install side.
Mm. Right, okay. So a lot of admin type stuff.
Admin, social media. I mean, Tim does all my websites. So, yeah, I outsource all of that because it's not my interest. And I think if you have a real interest in something, you'll do really well at it. If you have no interest in it or limited interest, then you're better off giving it to someone who has the interest because otherwise you'll just fluff it up.
Yeah, or you leave it and leave it and leave it, and then it gets overwhelming. That's I've got a job like that at the moment.
So for me, say take the WooCommerce website, which is doing products, got 500 products to upload. It's far more economical for me to go to the guys I know in India for years, just say, here's 500 products, spend a week uploading those content to the website. And that's where I say, for me, outsourcing's really work, and also get the experts in at the right time.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So that's what he's going to be talking about.
And again, though, you're using companies or people that you've used over a long period of time. You trust them.
Like India is, you get good as bad, you get reliable, unreliable. Once you find someone, you just hold on to them and basically treat them as good as you can to make sure they stay with you. So this company in India, I've known the guy for about 8 years now. He's really reliable and he's cost effective.
Perfect.
And that's what it's all about.
Do you outsource, Frank?
A number of things. So mainly platform system type stuff. Anything to do with what we actually do? No. Actually, some web development stuff we've outsourced in the past, yeah.
Cool, okay. Well, Carl Cow is going to be doing a training on that. Any questions you've got, then ask him. He's doing it all because I'm in London with the grandchildren going to see the Science Museum.
Lovely.
I know. So Carl is actually managing it all for us. And next week I go to Harry Potter World, so he's doing it again.
It's awesome there. It is awesome at Harry Potter
World. I know, really looking forward to that. And then we've got...
we have the Sisterhood.
The Sisterhood, that's... yes.
I'm not fully genned up on exactly what that is.
Okay, so the Sisterhood is a young lady that I met called Amy Avis. She's just recently become a member, and they meet regularly. So she runs the franchise in the Dartford area,
right?
And she's runs different events. I haven't been to one yet, so I've got no clue how it's run, but I'm looking forward to going along. And she's got basically a group on Facebook, and she said to me, "Lynn, you can post anything." So I posted last week. And from that, I had someone who wants to come along to Dartford. And then I've posted about the Business Academy this week. So we've got people who are joining the Business Academy from the Sisterhood because she lets you post it at the weekend in her Facebook group.
Excellent.
Yeah. And then Thursday night is Steph and Lisa.
Thursday night, yeah. For listeners of last month, was it last month that Stephanie and Lisa were on? Yeah. They were a lovely pair. They're very passionate about what they're trying to do with Kent Connections as well, aren't they? So they've got their networking event at the Ship and Trade.
Ship and Trades, that's it, at St. Mary's Island, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lovely.
So that's for family-run businesses, obviously. Or that's their, like, core target, right?
It is. I mean, I went along and, you know, I'm not a family business. Well, I am sort of family business, aren't I, with Chris and Laura? I can't remember whether they call me their little sister or their big sister. I should be their big sister, really, but I'm probably more like their little sister. But anyway, it's more about family businesses, but we went along, really had it. It was really good. It's really laid back. And I know what they're planning to do is they're planning to do like panel networking where you have a panel and the panel talks about different things. So they're going to be doing that at Avenues. And Avenues Tennis have just recently become a member with us. So we are going to be doing our Medway events from there now. So lots more parking, really clean, nice restaurant in there. So that's where the Medway events are going to be as from next month.
Mm.
So that would be good.
Lovely.
And then we're at the Arena, I think, on Monday.
Is that the 15th?
Is it 15th on Monday?
Yes.
Or the 18th? No, the 15th is the walk.
No, it's the 18th, sorry. Oh, yeah, the 15th, you've got networking.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Have any of you tried that yet?
It's always at the bad time of the day for me. So it's in the middle of the day, so that's where I'm most busy.
So it's basically at Moat Park. Always starts from Moat Park. We've had as few as six, as many as 20, but always really good conversations. It's great to walk and talk, really.
Mm.
And what we do is we move you on, so you don't get stuck with anyone.
Yeah.
So even if it's six, you're not with the same people all the time, which is really good.
Yeah.
And we've quite a lot of business is being done actually on those walks.
That's good.
Because it's about building relationships, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you do with the fast walkers and the slow walkers?
No, everyone walks at the same pace. Chris makes sure of that one.
Yeah. Got a
yeah.
stick.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Slow down. And then Monday is our... Is the Arena at Maidstone.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Arena at Maidstone, yes.
So the Arena at Maidstone. So the Arena actually sponsored the event for us and... Lewis McKay there, McKay Bell, he, comes along to the event and you can have a show round if you like. So absolutely fantastic venue for us. And we generally get between 36 and 40 people to that event.
Mm.
And that's when we move tables. So it's really good.
It's a really nice venue as well.
Yeah, yeah, brilliant. So I wanted to speak to you both, actually all three of you, about the networking events that you attend and what you like about. You haven't got to name them. You can name them if you don't. I don't mind. But what do you like about the different ones that you attend, Dave?
Well, I attend BNI and Synergy. I've done previous ones in the past, but BNI is very structured. It has, it has its way of keeping you on track. Synergy is mind-blowingly different to anything I've ever done in my life. It's that cross between speed dating and... business networking. But what I like about it most is the little prompts on the tables. The bonus to that is if you haven't got something prepared or if you're quite a new member, you've got something that you can quickly fast track relate back to, and you can have your minute, 2 minutes, whatever the time frame be, and you've got something you can come back on. Everyone's got some sort of life experience that can help you out with those little sort of questions. Whereas if you go to somewhere like BNI, you are expected to deliver a 45 or 60 second, everything about your business. You need to get it over and done. And sometimes for a new member, that's quite nerve-wracking.
Daunting.
Yeah.
Especially if you're new to networking itself as well.
Yeah. So BNI, I think, is great. It has its place. Synergy sort of sits in quite nicely between that, where you've got everyone can sort of gel and there's a bit more of a laid back attitude and you can just sort of go and talk to anyone. And that's not quite the same feeling necessarily as BNI.
I mean, I love structure, which is why I joined them 12 years ago. And, I absolutely love structure. That's why Synergy has got the structure. But not the strictness, I suppose. Structure without strictness.
Mm. Yeah, I need the structure because otherwise I would never turn up.
No.
I need that sort of... I need that ability to know that every time I've got to be there. But also, I love the freedom that Synergy gives. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, but I'm going to have to start being more pushy, obviously. Tim, what about you?
I'm probably a similar path to Dave, to be honest. I think I wouldn't go to two very similar networking groups because I just don't see the point for me. So, as I say, I love the idea of BNI is structured. There's all accountability and all that sort of side of it. But Synergy has a different vibe about it, which I enjoy both of those. So I think you just got to get something out of both of them. I like the fact we do like three one-to-ones in a way within your tables and all this sort of stuff. And I think it's a really good way of getting to know people, but it's a little bit less informal, which I also enjoy. So, you get different things from different things. But I'm very interested in our last speaker,
just about doing, like, trying to give something through some of his networking groups. That's something I will probably have a look at as well, going to, like, a discussing your business and all that sort of side. But again, the bottom line is try and find something different in each networking group and then get the best out of each of those.
Yeah, Nigel's is different again. I mean, we are planning to offer masterminds in Synergy. I've been talking to, funny, I mean, it's weird because I've been talking to Carl Cow about running the Maidstone ones and to Amanda Holges down in Whitstable, where I'm running the Whitstable ones. She's putting something together for us. And then I was looking on LinkedIn and Nigel Whittaker came up and I thought, I knew someone who did masterminds. And it was him. And it's funny how it all comes together like that. So we've got sort of 3 minutes. So if you can just a couple of minutes, tell us please about QMT, what you're doing, what you're up to.
Well, first of all, about the networking, I actually only do Synergy now, personally. And it is my favourite format. And for a blend of the answers that our guests gave today, I think I'm somewhere in the middle of those, right? So I love the format. I love the fact that it's you're a bit freer and it's not pushy, it's not strict. Like you said, it's just the perfect recipe. That's my word of today, I've figured out. Recipe.
Thank you.
I really like the Synergy format. A lot, and I wish more networking groups were like that, because we'd probably go to...
Well, funnily enough, we came across someone the other day who started doing something exactly the same.
Oh, really?
We didn't think it would be very long. I mean, we have copyrighted it, and because you can't patent a workflow. So we've copyrighted ours, and we're going to do, obviously, intellectual property for it, so that we can... stop someone totally copying it, but someone is already promoting in Kent, promoting that they're doing it. Ashford.
Yeah, but how close is it to the model?
I don't know. I've got to go yet. They haven't started yet. They're just promoting that they do it the same way as us. Not they're not saying like Synergy, but they're doing it. The description is exactly.
And it's in Ashford.
Yes, yeah, exactly the same as us. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting times.
Very.
Right, I've got to pay the adverts now. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you to my co-host, Frank Thompson of QMT. Thank you to Tim Dawson.
Thank you, Linda.
And thank you to David McEwen. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
And thank you to Nigel Whittaker, who isn't here.
Yes, thank
but
you,
we're looking forward to hearing more from him and seeing more of him in the future. So thank you very much, guys. Bye. Yeah,
thanks.
Bye-bye. Tired of IT headaches? Slow computers? Security worries? Lost files? Sound familiar? We've got your back. As Kent's leading IT support partner, we keep your business running smoothly, securely, and stress-free. Call 0179-534-2362 now and get your IT sorted.
You've been listening to the Business Networking Show with Linda Cloak, John Turner, and Jill Russell. I'm